a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
You may be seated. Thank you, Jennifer. I want you to take a moment as we get into this passage and think about a woman, a mother, that had a very profound impact on your life. Just pause for a moment and think about the mother or the grandmother, the woman that's had a very possible life-changing impact on your life. You know, you ask me that question, and I would say certainly my mother. I mentioned my father from time to time, and I mentioned my mother on Mother's Day today in our culture in America. My mother is 93, a godly woman, a praying woman. I'm going to try to call her this afternoon. She's really old school. And her hearing's gone. And when I call her, I have to go. And she'll answer. She'll say hello. And I go, "Hello, Mom, it's Doug." That's what I have to do, you know. And I'll talk for about 3 minutes, 4 minutes. She tells me everybody that's sick in our hometown, the people that died. And then she'll go, "I don't want to keep your bill and charge your bill up too high." I have not to tell her, you know, it's, don't worry about it. You know? But that's where she's at. That's what she thinks. But she's a godly woman. If you asked me to ask her to pray for you, she would pray for you. And the next time I called her, she'll ask, "Hey, how's things going with the person you asked me to pray about?" That's how sharp she is. So my mother had a profound impact on my life. She became a Christian when I was about 7 or 8. My mother-in-law, Grandma Isabel, to our kids, she's with the Lord. Connie's mother had an impact on my life. The one memory that I have of her is when Connie sat down with her mother and dad and showed them the ring when we were engaged. And her mother goes, "Oh no." "You're going to marry him. You know, the guy from the wrong side of the tracks." But Connie's mother is a believer, and she loved the Lord and served faithfully, made the best communion bread you could imagine. We didn't have matzo crackers. She made little cakes. That might not have been biblical, but she did it anyway. And then, of course, my wife, a woman, a mother, impacted my life. I'm so thankful for the day she said yes when we got engaged. Then she changed her mind and gave me the ring back. Could you imagine that? Why would she do that? But here we are, almost 52 years later. So she's had a profound impact as a mother, the mother of my children, the grandmother of my 11 grandchildren, great-grandmother of our great 9 great-grandkids. Awesome, huh? Awesome. So think about the woman, the mother. It could be an author, maybe a book, a woman that you read that had an impact on your life. Did Mary, Jesus' mother, have a life-changing impact on the world? Wow. Can you imagine that? Her life, this possibly 16, maybe even younger, virgin girl in Nazareth, gives birth to Jesus, who is Savior and Lord. Did she have a life-changing impact on the world? Absolutely. She was a woman favored by God. That's the language that we find here. Now, I'm sure she was a good mother, changing diapers, wiping noses, kissing bruised knees, all the stuff that goes with being a mother. And by the way, she had other children. Pause. You have to make a decision whether you're going to believe some nonsensical tradition or you're going to believe Scripture. Amen. You have to make that choice. Amen. The Bible says she had other children. But she was a good mother. Today I want to focus on her core values for life. What deep qualities made her what she was? In this passage here in Luke is so packed full of stuff about this mother, in this case, mother-to-be. Luke chapter 1 is going to teach us several life-changing qualities that we discover in Jesus' mother's life. And I want to just highlight them for you as we get into this, and then we're going to develop them. These four qualities are a personal relationship to the Lord, a spirit-filled life, a servant to the Lord, and a heart for worship. Now we're going to expand on that for a few moments. Four life-changing qualities from Mary's life, the mother of Jesus, that are applicable certainly for all you mothers and grandmothers, but also for all of you ladies and for us as men, and for you teens, you young adults. So I want to look at these four qualities from her life, life-changing qualities that can impact the world for God's purposes. First quality that we find in her life, she experienced, I underscore, experienced a personal relationship to the Lord. The word experience scares some people. You know, like, oh my, that's experience. I don't want any goosebump experiences. But I'm telling you, Mary had an unbelievable experience with God. Verse 28 says, the angel comes to her, greetings to you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Wow. Mary had a personal relationship with the Lord, God of creation. She experienced communication with him, dialogue with him. She had a supernatural angelic visitation. She knew the Lord, and he knew her, and he could trust her, and he would use her, which we'll see in a moment. Listen to the language of her dialogue with him from this short passage. Later, listen to the words of her song in verses 46 through 55. It's called the Magnificat, Mary's Magnificat, her song. She had an encounter with the Lord. This was a core value, a deep issue that governed all of her life, her relationship to God of creation. Experiencing a personal relationship to the Lord should be the essence of our existence. The essence of our existence, our personal relationship with the Lord. That which drives us, that which motivates us, that which compels us, that which sustains us. It all comes out of living in his presence. And I'm telling you, Mary had this unbelievable experience of living in God's presence. The Lord is real. Amen? He's real. Amen. He is real. And he wants us to experience him. Jesus Christ is alive. So mothers and women and men and teens that really want to impact their world for Jesus, for the Lord's purposes, if you really want to impact the world, you will experience an ongoing relationship with Jesus that becomes the very hub of your existence, the very center of your daily life. And that's why I asked Connie to sing that song that we sang earlier. Jesus is the center of it all. He becomes our motivator. He becomes our sustainer. The real reality of life is Jesus. And Mary experienced that through her encounter with the Lord. He was central to every aspect of her life. Jesus Christ is a reality to be experienced. I underscore that, I stress that, because so much under the umbrella of Christendom, under the umbrella, the big umbrella of Christianity, it can boil down to go to church, sing a few songs, and, you know, try to live a good moral life. But I'm telling you, that is not Christianity. Christianity is experiencing the living, dynamic presence of a living Jesus Christ, a relationship with the Lord. Prayer then is not dry and boring because Jesus becomes a reality in our prayer life. Praise is not simply a moment of entertainment. It's Jesus a reality in that moment of praise. Ministry is not a duty, like I got to do something for God. I got this class I need to teach and I got this task I got to do in the church, whatever. It's not a duty if Jesus is a living experience reality in our lives. Mary had that kind of relationship. A second quality, Mary lived a spirit-filled life. You say, wow. Well, that was pretty obvious, I think, in her life. Verse 35 describes it very well. Listen to these words. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Sounds like Acts 2 to me. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. This was an answer to Mary's question to the angel about how the Lord would use her. The angel comes and says, Mary, the Lord is going to use you. And she goes, how can he do that? And the answer is, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. He's going to overpower you. He's going to overshadow you. And the baby that's going to be born, you're going to conceive a baby. You're going to give birth to Jesus because of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit would be in her life. His presence, his power, and his provision would be central to her life. Just consider this for a moment. God created everything from nothing. Theological circles, we say that's ex nihilo, out of nothing. God created everything out of nothing. All he used was his word and the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, let there be this creative fiat, this creative word, and everything came into existence. So now we take this humble, young, Jewish virgin girl. And the angel says, simply because of God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit overshadowing you, you are going to give birth to the Messiah, God incarnate. Humanly impossible, but God's word, because she yielded to being a spirit-filled person. What does that mean for us? Mothers, dads, teens. God desires that we live a spirit-filled life. Ephesians 5:18, we know it so well in evangelical churches. Be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Lord commands us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, a personal encounter with the real Jesus Christ, a personal encounter with the God of creation, leads to the surrender of a spirit-filled life. Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell, followed the cross. Wasn't Pentecost first and then the cross? There was the cross, the death of Jesus. He would rise from the dead, and then Pentecost, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, being Spirit-filled, follows regeneration or our new birth. That's why we find that chronological sequence throughout Scripture. You need to be born again. You need to have the Holy Spirit come and indwell you. But Paul the Apostle doesn't stop there. He says you need to be Spirit-filled. See, not only does the Lord want us to be indwelt by the Spirit, He wants us to be filled with His Holy Spirit. Every aspect of our life yielded, surrendered to the influence, the power, the control of the Holy Spirit. Illustration of the house is not doesn't originate with me. It's been around for many, many years. That you invite a guest into your home, and then you invite them and they come in. They come into your foyer or your front hallway and they stand there and they're in your home. They're there. They're dwelling in your house. But you shut all the other doors. You say, nope, you have no access to the kitchen. You can't go to the bathroom. You can't use the living room. You can't go to the den, the study. You can't go to the basement, the attic, the bedroom, nothing. It's all shut off to you. But I want you in my house. And certainly as Christians, we can do that. We want Jesus. Jesus, come into my life. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want my gospel ticket, my gospel train ticket punched for heaven. I want my eternal fire insurance paid up. I want to go to heaven when I die, but just come into the foyer and be my guest. And we shut off all the rest of the rooms. Spirit-filled says, I open up all the rooms. And see, Mary, the mother of Jesus, boy, did she have to open up the rooms of her life. I can't comprehend that. First, I can't comprehend it as a man, but I can't comprehend her, a virgin girl, 16, could even be 14. Now she's going to be pregnant by the work of the Holy Spirit. Why do we need to really be filled with the Holy Spirit? We cannot live the Christian life apart from His Spirit. We can't do it. We cannot accomplish what He will ask us to do. See, Mary was to give birth to the Messiah, and she can't do that apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, the empowering of the Holy Spirit. That's what caused Jesus to be born. We cannot accomplish what God asked us to do. As I mentioned a few moments ago, my mother became a true disciple follower of Jesus when I was about 7 or 8 in a little CNMA church southwest of Pittsburgh. And she had 3 sons, and I'm the oldest. And who would have ever thought that day around 1955, 54, that the oldest of her children would be standing in a pulpit setting in a church talking about his mother and about knowing Jesus Christ. But the Lord did. He knew that. And I tell you that apart from the power of the Holy Spirit, I would not be standing here today. I can't do what I do apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. Can't do it. But what's so amazing that Mary could become pregnant and give birth to this Savior of the world, not by her own ability, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we can make that connection, that God is asking you to fulfill His purposes in life, to have this God-ordained, life-changing impact on the world, you can't do it in your own ability, but by the Holy Spirit you can. Whatever He calls you to do. And that's so awesome to me. I'll pause, because I know just saying those words, the thought can go through our minds, but you don't know me. And we begin to develop excuses, like God wants me to, and you have to fill in the blank, I don't know. Lord, you're asking me to do this, and but I can't. Yeah, that's true. You can't. Can you imagine Mary going to the angel, but I'm going to give birth to a child, but I can't do it. And the Lord says, it's okay, don't worry. You can't do it. The Holy Spirit's going to empower you to do it. So whatever God's speaking to you right now, and I know he is, he's saying, this is what I want you to do. And you're going, but I can't. Be honest, you can't. But let the Holy Spirit do his thing, and you can do it. I am sure that for Mary, that was a scary moment. Now, I have never heard a woman preach from this part of Scripture about Mary going to have a baby. You know, it would be really neat to hear a woman's perspective, and I won't call on any of you women to do that. I mean, really? Can you imagine having this angelic visitation and the angel says, you're going to get pregnant? yeah, big deal. I'm a virgin, you know. I know. Now, believe it or not, just a little parenthesis here. There are people that have argued that Mary wasn't a virgin. Do you think she knew whether she was a virgin or not? I think so. But can you imagine? It was a scary moment. Well, just to be on the safe side, we'll say she's 16 or 17. Actually, some authorities say she could have been younger. But 16 or 17, she could have a baby. A baby that's going to impact the whole world and all of creation, all of history. Man, I think that was a scary moment. But she knew. She had this encounter with God. She had this personal relationship with him. And see, like Mary, as mothers and fathers and men and women and teens, we have been called to impact our world for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to give birth to Jesus, not in a physical sense like Mary did, but we are to take that gospel, the birth, the gospel of Jesus to the world. And we can't say, I can't do it, because we have the Holy Spirit. Surrender to a Spirit-filled life. Third quality, Mary's priority in life was to be the Lord's servant. Servant. One more time, servant. Now, if I was a TV guy, I'd ask you to repeat it back, right? You don't have to do that. Verse 38 is very profound. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. An encounter with the real living Jesus leads to a spirit-filled life, which leads to a passion to serve him. This becomes the touchy part for some Christians. Oh, they want the experience. They want a personal relationship to Jesus. And then they say, well, yeah, I need to be spirit-filled. But then, servant? I don't want to be a servant. I won't go there. Because, you know, to be a servant, he wants me to be a missionary or evangelist or something, you know, and I can't do that. Again, imagine Mary. Mary would become the Lord's servant. Part of the thing that touches me about this particular point, the Holy Spirit comes to Mary and says, you're going to get pregnant, you're going to have a baby, and she's got to go and tell Joseph. Wow. I mean, if Connie came to me and said, hey, we're engaged, but I'm pregnant. The Holy Spirit came to me. I say, yeah, I'm right. Sure. Tell me another story. So, she's going to be the Lord's servant. That possibly meant rejection from Joseph. But you all, if you know the story, God had that already taken care of, right? The Holy Spirit goes, the angel goes and talks to Joseph and says, this girl that you love and you're going to marry, this beautiful young Jewish girl named Mary, she's going to get pregnant. And I think if I'm Joseph, I might have had some doubt, honestly. But the angel was very real, and Joseph has this encounter with God, and God takes care of it all. But from Mary's part, she has to go and tell Joseph. And so there's going to be this matter of possible rejection. And then she doesn't know yet that the baby's going to be born in a stable. I was the oldest of three boys, and I was born in the hospital because it was my mother's first child, and I got to be born in the hospital. My next two brothers were born at home. Any of you here born at home? Oh, I know all the Renault kids were born at home, right, Steve? Or most of them, anyway, that I know of. All, there's Denise, yeah. All of you kids were born at home. Anybody born in a barn, in a stable? No, not in modern days, right? I mean, we got to have the... Man, some of these suites where mothers go to give birth, there's amazing. It's really neat. But this is all part of Mary being a servant, not knowing that she's going to give birth to this baby in a stable. And then she's going to have to end up with her husband, Joseph, and the baby fleeing to a foreign country. And then she would raise a boy who would eventually die. John 19, verse 25. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. Back it up, 33 years. Lord, I'll be a servant. I'll be whatever you've asked me to be. I'll do whatever you want. Do whatever you want with me. Jump ahead now. That baby that she nursed and changed and cuddled and held and watched him play and grow up. Now she stands at the cross and sees him dying. If you know anything about crucifixions, and we've just a couple months ago, you know, we come through our Easter time. Men were crucified totally naked. We see artistic pictures of cloths and garments, but that's not how they were crucified. And there was blood and excrement and flies and heat and sweat and all of that. And she's standing near the cross. This, she had said, do to me whatever you want to do, Lord. Like Mary, experiencing Jesus leads to being a spirit-filled follower that leads to servanthood. We have not been created for our own pleasure and our own purpose. Let the Holy Spirit touch your heart with that. Like Mary, we have not been created for our own pleasure and for our own purpose. We, long before creation, were in God's mind for his purpose, which centers on us being his servants. We have been called to obey him, and that's not a duty kind of thing. There is no greater purpose than that which he has designed for us. And how do we know that we have a servant heart? Like Mary, we can say, I am the Lord's. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. May it be to me as you have said. Whatever you want to do with my life, whatever you want to do, I'm living for your purposes. I'm your servant. Do with me, do with my family, do with my children, whatever you want. Your moms and dads, are you raising your kids for the Lord's purposes? Even if it means separation, even if it means martyrdom? That's Mary. God has given us all kinds of skills and gifts of the Holy Spirit, supernatural tools for ministry. all to flow out of that servant heart, Lord, whatever you want with me, my life, my family. One more quality. Mary demonstrated a heart of worship. A heart of worship. Verses 46 through 47, those verses just give us a glimpse into her heart. Listen to her words that I quote. My soul praises the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Awesome, huh? That's Mary. This is after the angel comes. We're talking 16-year-old girl. My soul praises the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. That's all part of Mary's song, that Magnificat that we find. And it shows us, demonstrates her heart for worship and praise. Yes, in verse 48, this passage goes on and it says that generations would rise up and call her blessed. But nowhere does she ever suggest that she is to be worshiped and prayed to. Let's make sure that's understood, okay? Nowhere is she to be worshiped and prayed to. Now, Mary's a wonderful person. I've just outlined and shared some fantastic things, I hope, about her. But she's not the Savior. Everything about her, all of her praise, all of her worship, her spirit, everything was pointed to who? Jesus. Mary's dead. Yes, her spirit's in heaven. She's no mediator. She's no mediatrix. Everything about her points us to Jesus. All of her worship and all of her praise. So an encounter with the real Jesus, an experiential encounter with Jesus, leads to a surrendered, spirit-filled life, which leads to the priority of being his servant that's going to reach its climax in this art of worship and praise. That everything we do brings glory to Jesus Christ and points people to Jesus Christ. That's Mary's life. Everything about her pointed to Jesus that died, that rose again, that is coming back again. And like Mary, we can have a world impact, a life-changing impact on the world if we, like Mary, are humble people with a heart of worship and lips that will bring praise and glory to Jesus Christ. See, an encounter with Jesus, the living, real Jesus, always leads to that spirit-filled encounter, always leads to a humble servant attitude that will flow out that Jesus is to be glorified. Let me summarize. Jesus' mother, Mary, teaches us four world-impacting, life-changing qualities. We'll just pause for a moment. The deaconesses have a very important task. Like Mary, we can impact our world. Life-changing impact, these qualities that she demonstrated. A personal relationship with the Lord. It is very possible that maybe you're here today and you don't have a personal relationship to the living Lord. Mother, grandmother, father, man, teen. You've never experienced the Lord. He's there. He's saying, I want you to be my follower. Confess your sin. Repent. Put your trust in me. Salvation is by God's grace through faith. It's there. It's available for you. Jesus is real. She lived a spirit-filled life. Maybe as a follower of Jesus, maybe there's a door in your life that you've got a padlock on it. And you say, Jesus, I want heaven. I want eternal life. I want forgiveness. But don't touch that part of my life. And the Holy Spirit saying, I want to fill every area of your life. Break the padlock off. Amen. Give it to Jesus. Surrender it to the Holy Spirit. And she made her life priority to be the Lord's servant. Lord, whatever you want, wherever you want. I'll become and I'll do whatever you want. And then she demonstrates this heart of worship. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is the center of it all. I want to conclude with a quote from David Livingstone, missionary in the 1800s to Africa. Here was his prayer. Lord, send me anywhere. Only go with me. Lay any burden on me. Only sustain me. Sever any ties but the ties that bind me to your service and to your heart. Awesome, huh? Let's stand to pray. Let's let the Holy Spirit speak to us for a moment. Just listen to His voice. He will speak to you. Just get quiet. He'll speak to you in a still small voice. He'll speak to you from Scripture. He can speak to you supernaturally and audibly. He may speak to you with a picture, a little vision in your mind, your heart. Let Him speak to you. Thank you, Father, for your presence. Oh, Father, we have learned so much from Mary. Thank you for her life. She is blessed. Thank you for her example. And Father, teach us those things. Let us be obedient. Now, Lord Jesus, as we leave here today, let us breathe in your presence moment by moment. In the name of Jesus, we ask all of this. Amen. Thank you.